I don't have a Christmas message today. It was short notice, and I just wanted to talk about what God's been laying on my heart for the last few months. Talk about God's, his rest, entering his rest through prayer, and how to recharge. As Dan often mentions, we're in a war, and as a result, each one of us goes through battles from time to time. Look around the room, we look at our prayer requests throughout the week, and no one seems to escape these battles. Psalms 34:19, a righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from them all. What do we do when the battle comes? We pray. Pray without ceasing, the word says. At the same time, we need to enter God's rest and hand the battle over to him. That's often easier said than done. It tells us not to worry, but that's often easier said than done as well. Matthew 11:28-30, Jesus tells us what to do. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You'll find peace of mind. The idea of giving your load to Jesus, who will help you carry it. The yoke is lighter when you turn it over to him. And often think of that little scripture, that little poem, whatever Linda passed out, Footprints, how Jesus carries us. We don't even know it. Resting in him is part of the yoke sharing. Think about when God created the heavens and earth. Even he took a day off. I often wonder what God does on his day off. We're wondering about that. It says he rests on the seventh day. On the seventh day, God rested from all his work, and he blessed the seventh day and made it holy. The number of seven is a symbol of completion. The seventh day, Sunday, we put aside to honor God. God told Israel to let the land rest every 7 years so it could regain the nutrients it needs. We call it crop rotation today. Every 49 years, 7 times 7, was set aside to rest. The 50th year was known as the year of Jubilee. Debts would be canceled. Land would be returned to the original owners. Slaves would be set free as part of the 50-year Jubilee. Psalm 62:5 says, "Find rest in God. Alone my hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken." When we rest in him, we will not be shaken. Jeremiah 6:16 reminds us that what to do when we come to those crossroads in life. This is what the Lord says. "Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths where the way is good. Walk in it and you will find rest for your soul." Sometimes over the years, those ancient paths become overgrown, and we need to get out the weed whacker and get back on the right path. It's funny how things change, just like whisper down the lane, how it changes from one end of the line to the other, how the ancient paths get overgrown by all the things of the world. Jesus set a lot of examples of how we should pray and trust and rest in him. If you remember, he started early when he was 12 years old. His parents thought he was lost. Remember that? He was at the temple, right? And they had to go back and find him and create a lot of anxiety probably for them. But his response was, "Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business?" Even at an early age, he knew where his source came from. After Jesus was baptized by John, the word says, As Jesus was praying, heaven and earth opened. The heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended on him. So when he received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not long after being baptized by this Holy Spirit, he was led into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. The fact that he had already been filled with the Holy Spirit gave him that strength to persevere. 40 days of fasting and praying. Jesus gives us many examples how even he had to be recharged. Mark 1:35, early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up and went to a solitary place to pray. Matthew 14:23, after feeding the 5,000 and dismissing the crowd, he went over the mountainside by himself to pray. He was recharging again with the Father. It must have took a lot of, drained him quite a bit to feed 5,000 people, maybe more, they say. Mark 6:46, after feeding the 5,000, he sent the disciples to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, and he went up on the mountainside to pray again. It seems like after many of the main big miracles he did, he had to go and pray, spend quality time, that quiet time with God, get recharged. A storm came up while the disciples were out on the lake, and they became afraid. The word says they were straining at the oars. Jesus walked out on the water, if you remember the story, and calmed the storm. Afterward, Jesus rebuked them for their lack of faith. They had just seen the 5,000 fed miraculously, and the next moment they're walking in fear again, just like a lot of us, me included. This occurred right after the miracle of the 5,000. Jesus felt they should have been praying and not straining at the oars, as the story says. Jesus said, "You're going to the other side." And they didn't quite grasp that. And I think that's a lot of times when we're going through the storms, Jesus tells us we're going to the other side. And sometimes it's hard to grasp that, but he promises that we'll get to the other side. Luke 4:40, after healing all who had various kinds of sicknesses, laying hands on each one, he healed them. After healing, what did he do? At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place where he prayed. This is consistent. This is my message here, how Jesus ministered to others and how he had to be recharged. How about the woman with the issue of blood in Mark 5:30? At once, Jesus realized power had gone out from him. The power was active in Jesus because he was constantly plugged into the source, his Father. When you're involved in ministry with others in particular, you need the power. You need your power. Your power can easily be drained. It's important to us to rest and recharge. I think that's why it's so important to pray for our pastors, our leaders, because they're constantly being drained by each one of us. We're all needy people. And the enemy's always after them, after God's leaders. So it's important to lift up Pastor Beth, especially right now. We can see what she's going through at this moment. Luke 5:15, yet the news of Jesus spread all the more so that the crowds came to hear him and be healed of their sicknesses. And then the word says right after that, but Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed, again getting recharged. In verse 17, the word says the power of the Lord was present for Jesus to heal the sick. That wonder-working power. Where does it come from? One of these days, Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. I put this one in here because 1 Thessalonians 3:10 reminds us to pray day and night. Pray without ceasing, especially when we're in the middle of the battle. And this is just an example how Jesus went out to the mountainside and prayed. He spent the whole night praying. One of Jesus' prayers near the end of his ministry on earth was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed for himself and for his disciples. Finally, he prayed for all believers, including us. The word says, being in such anguish and overwhelmed in prayer, he prayed even more earnestly, that he was sweating drops of blood at some heavy-duty praying. Only by God's power was he able to persevere through one of his greatest trials. I guess the point of all this is Jesus needed to pray and be recharged, and we certainly need to do the same if we're going to win the battles in our lives. What I'm trying to say is if we're going to win the war, we have to rest between the battles. As the woman with the issue of blood, we need to press in, grab hold of Jesus and cling to him till our faith becomes sight. Think of that song we sing, to this rock I'm clinging. I won't be shaken because of this rock I'm clinging. So I just would like to encourage each one when we're going through the battle to pray, trust, rest, and recharge. Thank you.